Hey everyone, my name is Josh Nason. This is Josh Nason's Punch Out here on WrestlingObserver.com. Very special edition of the show this week. Joining me for the first time, royalty. I don't think we've ever had a royal on the show. We have now Prince Nana. Yes, Prince Nana, the one and only Prince Nana from AEW and, of course, Ring of Honor fame. Joining me for the very first time, and we talked about everything in his long and illustrious career. Dates back to 1996. And as he had to remind MVP, last fall, he used to wrestle. He's forgotten more things than most people have learned about the game of wrestling. We chat about that, those early years, why he got out of in-ring competition, working Madison Square Garden for the very first time as an active wrestler, his various runs in Ring of Honor, and what brought him back to the company. A very, very, very interesting story there. You want to stick around for that, especially my aggregator friends. And of course, we talk about the current day in AEW, getting paired up with Swerve Strickland. Was he concerned about a split at all over time, especially when the different factions that he was involved with started splintering off? And of course, Revolution and the moment that he shared with Swerve Strickland Robe, what that meant to him. We also talked about Homicide, not the actual act of it, of course, but hit the wrestler who is a very, very, very good friend with Prince Nana and what his retirement meant to him. And this is actually recorded on the night the Homicide was set to retire, and a very emotional response from Prince Nana that you'll hear. And of course, the dance and all types of other stuff. This is an awesome conversation. So let's get to it right now. Myself and Prince Nana talking about, well, everything royal. Enjoy. Well, for the better part of 29 years, my guest has been involved in the world of pro wrestling, from a church in Spanish Harlem in 1996 to finally getting his robe back to a huge ovation in front of 11,000 fans at AEW Revolution earlier this month. He is the consigliere, the best friend, the man beside the former and perhaps future AEW World Champion Swerve Strickland, as well as a budding coffee magnate. We'll talk about that as well. Please welcome to the show for the first time ever, royalty, the one and only Prince Nana. Prince, thank you so much.
Josh, hey, you see, Josh, I'm going to stop cutting you a check, all right? You deserve a check to be cut, my friend. What a great introduction. Good to be here, my friend.
Yes, yes, I was glad to have you. So many things to talk with you about. And it has been for quite some time. And when I say 29 years from your start in pro wrestling, 1996 to today, still being here, still doing it on TV every week, what goes through your mind 29 years later?
Oh, man, it's surreal. But it was surreal the whole 29 years, you know, from the moment I started to train back in 1996. Actually, I was a photographer first for Johnny Rods. From that day, you know, I knew I had a mission, and that was to, you know, entertain in sports entertainment and to be in the professional wrestling business. And, you know, each and every day of my career has been somewhat surreal. But, you know, when looking back at all of the obstacles and the things that, you know, Prince Nana had to undertake and accomplish, you know, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. When did you, so you start in the business very young, as you mentioned, trained by Johnny Rods. You and I are both 47 years.
I'm 45, but 45. We're in the same age bracket.
Yeah. What a young guy.
I was born in 1979.
79. God, I'm 78. So not too far away. You're looking great though.
So
what made you get into the business at such a young age? And obviously what brought you to Johnny in the first place?
You know, I was a big wrestling fan, you know, from when I was 10 years old, I think maybe about eight or nine years old. And the show that hooked me was the show where Andre the Giant choked out Hulk Hogan.
Yes. Yep.
So basically it hooked me. I knew about wrestling already. We were watching it, but that like was very stunning. And I was with my dad and with my brother, and we were also watching some kind of boxing. I don't know what was going on, but I remember that match. So I followed it and I watched it. Obviously, I got a little bit older. I was like maybe 13, maybe I think maybe 12 or 13, and WrestleMania 8. And I remember, chasing down my next door neighbor, a really good friend of mine still to today, chased him down, to borrow his VHS tape, because back then, everything wasn't so speedy like it is today, with download this, download that. So, he had a list of people that had to watch this tape first, WrestleMania 8. And I was on the list for the third week or something like that. But when I got that tape, man, that's what changed my life. Randy Savage, and Ric Flair. And from seeing that match, I obviously got more into wrestling. And it was kind of like a hidden treat, because like it was kind of embarrassing at that time, I guess, as a young kid, to be a wrestling fan where I was from or where I was growing up. And that's in the area in Brooklyn, being a wrestling fan was kind of like, what the hell? You're not watching John Starks and the Knicks, which I was watching that too. But wrestling was my passion and I loved it. So basically, I ended up being a photographer, because in school I went to John Dewey High School, where a bunch of like celebrities that today went there, including Spike Lee. But I went to John Dewey High School, graduated there. I was the senior speaker. I was the head photographer at John Dewey High School, the editor of the yearbook, and I was also Johnny Rodd's photographer. And this is from 1995 to 1996 as his photographer slash student, because I had to get a waiver from my mom in order to, join his school. And my mom, she wasn't having it. She'll smack the hell out of Johnny Rods and then smack me too, but she allowed it to happen. I took photographs for Johnny and a whole slew of other people. Big Vito, Devon Dudley, all these different legends, and continued my pursuit as a wrestler as well, learning the ropes, learning how to roll. And it took me about 7 to 8 years to kind of get all of that down packed. But within those 7 to 8 years, not only was I in college, not only was I in the music industry, as a photographer, and then also in the marketing departments, I was able to kind of like, keep a steady, flow of opportunities coming my way to stay polished for the big time, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. So last fall, it's funny you mentioned working in the ring. So last fall, MVP comes on the scene. This was
Oh my God.
during this in leading into all this. And so you, in some of your verbal battles with him, you mentioned that, and you reminded him, and I think a lot of people who didn't know this, that you're a wrestler, and you were a wrestler at one point.
Absolutely.
And it's funny,
Absolutely.
so many fans will come into this, and as all of us do, we get into this. We don't. Until we learn about the past, we just don't know. We're like, oh wow, like Bobby Heenan used to be a
I
wrestler and all
get
these
it.
people, things like that. It's so interesting that w were you surprised that people didn't know? Did you find a lot of people like, oh wow, you actually wrestled for? I assume there's probably some young talents on the AEW roster who had no idea as well, right?
Let me tell you something. There was a point in time where I went to do a tryout for WWE. This is years ago, and Seth, who they call, what's his name now in WWE? Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins, yes.
So but he's a good I know him as Tyler Black. I saw him on a flight the other day. I'm like, Tyler Black, oh my God, people haven't called. But basically, when I went to that tryout and he saw me get into the ring, he came up to me. He was like, dude, I didn't even know you wrestled before. And this is a guy that was in Ring of Honor for at least, 5 years, and I was someone who was in Ring of Honor from the first day. So it wasn't necessarily his fault that he didn't know that I was a professional wrestler. It's just that he was more focused on his career, like the way I was focused on my career. I have a bunch of stories of like legends who I've mentioned Johnny Rod's name to, and they don't even know who he is. And that's not no, like that's not a bad thing. Or it's just that people have, their lives going on, and they're focusing on what it is that they have to bring on the table. And I respect that. So with the younger talent that really didn't know that I was training for years, taking bumps, getting thrown around by D-Von, getting thrown around by Big Vito, Angel from the Baldies, Bug Mahoney, all these people throwing me around, Kamala, doing shows with Bryan Danielson, and some matches that I've had over the years with Homicide and stuff like that. They don't know those things, but it helped craft what we're watching, on a large scale, as far as when it comes to AEW, and why we have this product, All Elite Wrestling, thanks to Tony Khan, because he was a huge fan. He was a huge fan of, what it is that a lot of those people, may have missed or didn't see, so I'm just happy for that. And I don't hold, the younger talent, I don't hold any grudges against them for not knowing who I am, because I don't know a lot of people now on TV. Half of them, hey, I don't know people.
So let's let them know. So you worked in a time in those early 2000s, Northeast US. So I'm also from the Northeast. And there's a ton of talent on the scene back in those days. And there still is, but there it was so much different, especially in that New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia area where you came up in. And I was kind of going through like you compete against
Yes, yes.
all these names that are still around, are still doing great things. What do you remember? You talked a little bit about, but is there anything specific you remember about those early years working like Jersey All Pro, and you're working Ring of Honor, ECWA, and you're doing all these things with all these talents. Just what that time of your life was like.
It was a trying time because I was still trying to find myself. I was still young. I was like in my early 20s. And again, coming from a background of, oh, you're in the wrestling business, and like there was, even though deep down inside I was like, this is, I don't know, this is what I'm supposed to do. That's all that was, in my mind. That's what kind of like pushed me through those towns, because there's been ups and there's been downs. There's been really good times on the roads, and then there's been times like, what the hell am I doing with my life here? You know what I'm saying? And some of those times, most of those memorable times on the road, I would have to say is with my friend, Mega. He's from the New York City area. And then also we have Homicide, being on the road with him from, because we're both from New York, and we had to get on those flights to do the Ring of Honor shows in Chicago and Atlanta and all these places. It just showed the work ethic that we were willing to have if we were given the opportunity, because we always showed up, we were always there, we were always in the ring, we were always trying to, help the young talent if they asked for it. We were also, under the learning tree of the older talent, like Eddie Guerrero and other people that would come into the company. Hey, Jim Cornette was a great friend of mine while he was in Ring of Honor, and I learned a lot from him. And hey, I got cursed out by him too, but it was all out of the love and the passion of professional wrestling, And there's some people that cross the line, and then there's some people who, they need to cross the line, because, in order for it to work, and I mean in a passionate way creatively, in order for it to work, we have to do it as a team. So like the best part of my journey is the family that I've, gained from professional wrestling. And a lot of those people in my family I've lost, like, Xavier, we have Jimmy Rave, we have a whole host of people that we've, lost, and I want to, continue to, perform in their memory. So that's my biggest, drawback is all the great people that I've met and I've learned from over the years, ECWA, ECW, all of these companies.
I'm glad you brought up Homicide because as we're talking
That's
tonight,
right.
this very night, Thursday, March 20th, Homicide's career in ring comes to an end. And it's unfortunate how it is coming to an end. He revealed some of his health issues and things like that. As you mentioned, you've worked with him, you've wrestled against him several times through years. What are your memories and what can you say about him? If you were going to give him a retirement speech, so to speak, what do you remember and what can you say about Homicide as he calls it quits tonight?
You want to make me cry?
You don't have to, but it's
Know,
up to you. You tell say what you want to say.
listen. He is, because there was a point in time where we were young. And we like the thing I knew about Homicide is that he was never competing with anybody. He was more of a someone who just wanted this to work, and wanted people to be entertained and draw people in. And one of the reasons why I'm getting emotional is because I was going to quit the business. I was at a point where, sorry,
No, you're good. This is wrestling. This is real. This is real stuff.
was going to quit. Ring of Honor wasn't calling. This is when Sinclair, broadcast group was in the picture, and there was just a lot going on. There was just a lot going on. And people like me and Homicide, we really didn't deserve the treatment that we got, when it was time to bring this company to the masses, because when you're talking about people who have been there from the beginning and who have taken the beatings and taken the pay cuts and, the racism and the non-racism and the fake friendships and so on and so forth, and you don't, hey, we're not looking, people weren't looking for $1 million, but if and you don't honor that, when you have an opportunity to be on a grand scale to present what it is that this company is about, especially when those people are available, that's not cool. So Homicide is someone I respect. Because when I was down and out, and when I say down and out, I wasn't down and out motivation wise, because if wrestling wasn't working for me, I had to make other things work, Oh, and I had to get involved with other things. So when I was while I was doing that, and still watching what was going on in wrestling and enjoying it, and still kind of involved social media wise and trying to like help the younger talent, get into business and sales and learn how to, promote and stuff like that. Homicide reached out to me and was like, "Hey, listen, Nana, what the heck are you doing? Why aren't you out on the road doing shows? Come on, get up, man. You're one of the best to ever do it, brother." You know what I'm saying? And I was like, "Are you serious?" He's like, "Yes, I'm serious." So, like, the show that he's doing tonight, which is Outlaw Wrestling, he invited me to that show, and he was like, "Hey, just come down, and we're gonna put you on the show." I took the pay cuts, and I did the show, and I came back month to month, and the show grew, and the popularity grew, and it was like back to having that family feeling, and like, And from there, a lot of other things and opportunities happened, and I owe Homicide, the respect and the gratitude, for allowing me to realize, that, I had something, very special that God gave me. So, Homicide, I'm wishing him the best. I know that once he goes through his ordeal and he gets through it, he's gonna be back, and he's gonna be back, and he's gonna be a very, very big asset to the pro wrestling business. So yeah, I get emotional for that guy. That's my guy, and he deserves the utmost respect, at this, level in his career, for where he's been, what he's done, the people that he's helped, you know what I'm saying? And just the fans around the world that admire him.
Yeah, well put. Well put. Let's talk about another New York institution, Madison Square Garden. You worked Madison Square Garden. You did two WWF, now WWE, matches back in the day on Jacked, the old show back in the day. You wrestled against Steve Blackman and the late Crash Holly,
That's right.
once at the Nassau Coliseum, another for wrestling fans. Of course, they know for Saturday Night's Main Event there
Right,
and so on and so forth. But also at Madison Square, also at Madison Square Garden. I wanted to get your what you remember about those, that experience, because so many people talk about MSG from performers to from all types of performers from of the sports realm and also musicians. I mean, that's the place, and you got to wrestle there. What do you remember
Yeah,
about
and I was an avid customer of that place when I was a
that?
kid. Going to the being in the the WWE fan club and going to the shows and just having my escort take me to the shows and my mom, have my cousins take me to the shows, and to say, oh, I'm gonna perform here one day is not something that I said to myself over those years. But once I got into the business and I started to realize my network and where I was actually from and that I was a New Yorker, I knew that it had to happen. But to walk down that ramp and to do that match in front of all those people, and years later people just say, hey, that was an entertaining spot you had, and everything that I got from that. Because being and that's just being in Madison Square Garden. It's like you're in the hallowed halls, and to for people and wrestlers and promoters to know, oh, you wrestled at Madison Square Garden, it was a really big thing. So like, my dream was to go back there again with Ring of Honor. Obviously that didn't happen. I had a ticket to the show. They gave me a ticket to the show, but I kept the ticket to basically, have an interview like this one day, just to show people that, they gave me a ticket to come see something that I was, a very major part of. But, everything, all the wrongs were made right. Thank God for Tony Khan, and I appreciate the fans of AEW and Ring of Honor.
So we're going to get to AEW in just a second. Let's talk a little Ring of Honor first. So you and Ring of Honor through the years, it's so synonymous. It's like the DNA. Some people are just, they have that thing, right? Every group has that, but you and Ring of Honor definitely. So various runs, you're there from 2002 to 2006, we talked about, then 2008 to 2012, 2013, 2016, and then eventually coming back when Tony Khan, in the Tony Khan era. And what, I mean, yeah, you've been together there with ROH. What is it about you and this company? It just seems to be like a
Man,
perfect synergy.
because it tapped in. Ring of Honor tapped in on me when I was really Prince Nana, like when I was really that top talent in the New York area. I'm telling you, I was trained by the best. I was trained by Johnny Rods, who is almost 80 something years old now. You know what I'm saying? But I trained with Johnny, and I trained with a whole bunch of heavy hitters that kind of taught me how to fight, and that's what I portrayed in my matches in my younger days. But one thing that I knew for a fact is that I was really good with talking. I was really good with, like, just being on a microphone. I loved microphones even when I was a baby, when I was a kid. I always had microphones toys and like the microphone and the headphones and like singing. I love to sing. So with Ring of Honor, from the very first show, and just like, there's other, things that have happened over the years, just, I had really good like supporters like Gabe Sapolsky at that time, and also Carrie Silkin, who
I think you put yourself on mute.
can you hear me now?
I can now, yeah.
Yeah, it's very weird. Yeah, Carrie Silkin, who was a huge fan of mine, and obviously he was like the heart and soul of Ring of Honor for many, many years. So, because he was a huge, huge fan, and obviously the fans were huge fans also. It just I was there, and the times that I did leave, it was because of like creative differences or because there was nothing at the time, and I, I guess like each and every time, just because of, what I've created as far as like storylines, in my past with Ring of Honor, I think that's what's been able to draw me back to every situation that's new, that's kind of like developing, that's like kind of unsure of. If you want to kind of make it interesting real quick and segue, it's the best, piece of the puzzle is Prince Nana and the Embassy. So a lot of promoters have figured that out over the years, and Tony Khan is one of them. Tony Khan is definitely one of them, and my hats go off to Tony Khan. And I know I keep saying his name, because his company is phenomenal, and he acts right. He takes care of his people, He takes care of his people, and you don't feel like you're just working into a black hole. There were many times, and I get it. It was like really rough at certain points, back in the day with Ring of Honor and stuff like that. But there were times where it was like we were working into a black hole. But then the company that was behind us was a huge juggernaut worth billions of dollars. And what are you guys doing? Like, we're putting our lives on the line, and we're putting our families and our, we're stopping that to make this happen. So don't take advantage of that. And I've never felt taken advantage of from Tony Khan. And I'm not saying I've been taken advantage of anybody else, but I'm just saying there's just been many uncomfortable situations that just didn't have to be that. And over here, I feel like, we have a smooth, understanding of what it is that we need to do. And we're trying to just make sure that this vision of the elite, it continues. It keeps moving forward to where it needs to go. And the innovation part and the phenomenization.
I like that. I like that. So you were gone for Ring of Honor from 2016 to 2022, and during that time, you had your last in-ring match, at least to date, in 2019. Why did you decide to get out of working as an active wrestler, I guess?
You know what? I never really stopped. I never really stopped. I never really stopped. Now, like when I think about it, I'm like, whoa, what the hell was I doing back then? Because even though I wasn't like the greatest wrestler in the world, but it's like, whoa, you were, kicking ass and doing that. And I still have that stuff in me. I know, I try to, stay moving, and when I'm, in my alone time, I try to, do certain things like, leapfrogs, and like I'd make sure I'm doing my, just to make sure that I'm still kind of like able to do certain things. But a lot of the younger guys now, they have the new style of wrestling a little bit more down packed, as far as, as far as like speed is concerned. I'm more of like, again, I've always been a brawler, and I think people got away from that, but now, wrestling is evolving again, and we see more brawls, and people are more into that. And you know, I always could do a good brawl. But yeah, my last match was probably in 2019 on a ROH pay-per-view, and that was probably one of my favorite matches. You know what I'm saying? It was great. I was able to showcase to the world at that time, even though it was a small audience watching, a small but big audience, but small. I was able to showcase to them, like, wow, okay, this guy, he knows what he's doing. And ever since then, I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of promoters, small indie promoters, you know, medium side, they're always able to call on me to help them build their companies and their rosters and so on and so forth. So I'm very grateful for that.
So let's fast forward to July 2022, Ring of Honor Death Before Dishonor.
Oh my goodness.
Surprise appearance. All of a sudden, Prince Nana returns, takes over the
Wow.
Tully Blanchard stable. You dished out the cash and
That's right. That's right.
he disappeared. What led to your return?
Wow. You know, I'm lucky, and I tell all the wrestling, the young guys right now, make sure your phone is charged. And make sure your phone is charged, and make sure that the volume is up on the ringer, you know, because again, I started making the movements again. Homicide got me, and you know, I'm getting like a little couple deals here and there, but it still is not like it's not what I really want to do. I'm ready for the big time, you know what I'm saying? And I'm back in that, you know, that part where it's like, hey, where am I going with this? What's going on? And boom, it's a Sunday. I think it's a Sunday or a Saturday afternoon. Almost getting to like maybe 2 o'clock, and you know the day is, and I know that it's definitely before the sign. I knew that the pay-per-view was going on, and it's just kind of cryptic because I tweeted that day like, oh, you know, today is my baby is having a big show today. You know, best of luck to all my friends and blah blah blah. You know, maybe a few minutes after that, like maybe I like not even a few. It was like I did that in the morning, and then like later on that day, I get a text from one of my good friends. He's a good guy, you know, someone I've met in Ring of Honor, and we were friends there, and he's become a really, really great asset to the wrestling business. QT Marshall text me, and he's like, you know, hey, what's your availability to come to Boston right now? And he knows I live in Brooklyn, and I didn't know what was going on because I wasn't following the details of the storyline, you know. But I'm like, I can get there now. I was always a by any means necessary person, so everyone knows that I don't usually drive. So the first thing he thought is, hey, you know, the buses or the train is gonna get you here at that, you know, because I'm from New York. He's like, the train is gonna get you here on time. I'm like, it'll get me there at 9 o'clock. I'm like, listen, I'm gonna just don't worry, I'll get there. And basically, I was hanging with like one of my producers, and I jumped up. They were, what's wrong with you? I was like, I gotta go. And I didn't have anything, you know, kind of ready. Usually I'm very prepared if I know something's going on. So I had to throw a bunch of different outfits in a bag, stuff it in, took my iron just in case, and called Uber. And about three cars came, and they looked, because I'm from Brooklyn. And they were like, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Boston. They're like, I can't do it. And drove off. I was like, okay, the next guy will do it. Next guy, oh no, drove off. The next guy that came, my friend, I said, please, my friend, all right, I'm begging you. I need you to take me to Boston. I'll give you whatever you want. This is a really important situation that I'm going through right now. You know, and I could have called family and friends, but I just didn't want to get into that. I needed to do what I had to do. And he was like, all right, come on. He looked at my face, and was like, all right, come in. And he was like, man, you look scary just now, like something is crazy going on. He was like, all right, take your time, get yourself together. So I get there, and yeah, it's and I'm friends with the cab driver still. And I get there, and history is made. They, you know, I meet Brian Cage, Toa Leona, and Khan. I already knew, kind of. Yeah, kind knew him from Ring of Honor. So it and saw my friends and everyone, including Mark Briscoe, Rest in peace to him. He was elated to see me. Like the first thing he said, I'll never forget this. Rest in peace to him too. He saw me in the locker room. He's like, "Nana, that's what I'm talking about." That's my buddy, man. That's my buddy. And history was there, and it was hard work. I met Tony again because I'd met Tony before. I met him
Okay.
at a show in New York, but this was 7 months ago, where he was like, "Oh my God, Nana." He was like, "Whoa, oh, Prince Nana, holy shit, I got something for you." And that was like not 7 months ago. I was like, "Oh my God, this guy, he's never gonna call me." And through the grace of God, that's how that went down. And Ring of Honor is always gonna be my baby. So like whenever I see the young talent going there and starting their career and trying to get their foot in there, I'm like, yep, they're doing the right thing.
Wow, the same day. Wow, what an unbelievable story. Unbelievable.
$650, my friend.
How
All
much?
right. $650, all right.
Wow. No wonder that cab driver is still your friend.
Exactly. He wants to drive some more.
So then we flip to April 2023. You got hooked up with the man himself, Swerve Strickland, as the factions were kind of coming together. When did you first find out that was going to happen, or what were your conversations like with Swerve?
Me and Swerve have been friends for years, almost
Oh.
from the beginning, like almost the beginning of his career when he started doing, pro wrestling shows in New York. So
Oh, wow.
I always knew him, and I was, "Oh, he's innovative. I like him. He's mad cool." But like I even told him when I would see him, it was like, like what the hell? Like that's what I would like. I was like, "What is like, Like I couldn't figure it out, but there was something there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it was definitely in the ring. But like me personally, I'm a like a energy person. Like of course you got to be good in the ring and stuff like that. But like if you don't have that persona, if you don't have that energy of like wanting to be serious about this, but at the same time you can be loose. But you like he had that. So I saw that way back then. I was always friends with him. I was always happy for his success when he went on to do CZW, and I mean, I think it was CZW. He went to do MLW, and then finally getting his big shot on the major stage. And so when he did come to AEW, and I think I was there before him. I'm
Might
not
have
sure.
been.
I think I might have been there a little bit before him, or at the same time. But we always like big each other. What up? Get hugged. And never once in my mind did I think I would be working with him.
Yeah.
I've said to myself, "Oh, I like what he's doing. Like that's cool." And he knows that I'm in the music industry and he's in the music industry, but we never had that talk. But when it was finally brought up, I went to him. I was like, "Did you pitch this? Did you pitch us being together?" He was like, "No, man." I was like, "Really?" He's like, "Yeah, that's Tony." And from there, that's when I knew that Tony Khan was a genius, because I was so, because everything that I've always been like, "No, that's and not gonna work," or something like that. And it's like they put me in it, and because I'm so, I guess I'm the talent they need for that, and it works. That's what happened with that. You know what I'm
Yeah.
saying? It was like, holy shit, this is what they both needed to go where we needed to go. And this is before the viral dance.
Yes.
I saw you doing it. I think they sent me a video of you doing it, my
Oh
friend.
yeah,
All
wow.
right. But before the viral dance, we already kind of clicked because I knew which direction he was going in. And I already have that kind of flavor that he's looking for a little bit, because yeah, I'm a Ghanaian prince, but I lived in Brooklyn for many years, so I have a little bit of that seasoning. And he has his seasoning as far as what he loves about being who he is and where he's from and the music that he loves, and so it all meshed together perfectly.
Yeah.
And it was like there was never a awkward moment. Even when we had the other members in the group, Toa Leona, Khan, Bishop Khan, Brian Cage, Those guys, I give them a big credit to getting us to where we are today also.
Yeah. When the split happened, he won the title at Dynasty almost a year ago, and the group eventually split up, but you and Swerve still remained together. Was there ever concern that you guys are going to get split up after all that?
Oh, forget it. People have been talking about, oh my God, what's going to happen ever since that. And then just a few little situations promo wise that, I had to express my concerns over, how things were going, because there's like a, and yeah, people think this is like television and stuff. There's a lot of pressure, my friend. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of pressure, and a lot of that shows, once you have it shown television with what it is that we were doing. So the pressure was on for Swerve, to kind of like, step up his plate, the plate that he knows that he needed to be in. And with me kind of like just being there as the advocate, it got us to where it got him to where he needed to be, and it got me to where I needed to be also,
Yeah.
as far as being all elite and being, as far, and being on the top of the echelons of the professional wrestling business
Yeah, and
overall.
yeah, and what I think I might have mentioned this earlier, but I'll say it again. The two of you, it's very much like a Bobby Heenan and Nick Bockwinkel, Bobby Heenan and Ric Flair, Kurt Hennig. Like it, there's a. It's not a. Sometimes managers and seconds in the past are like made it seem less than, right? But you guys are very, it's a good package because you tell it's like a mutual respect thing, and there's not like he's belittling you. It's not like you're screwing things up. It's very much a two guys have come together and just have this whole kind of like package. It reminds me of that because even
We have a plan.
it was it's just a
No, go
very
ahead.
yeah it's just a very like. I was just thinking about that today, and very much it's two guys that clearly respect and admire each other, and that comes across on screen.
There's a lot of admiration. I love Swerve, man. Like, and I always loved Swerve, even before we started working. He always was a stand-up guy in the business, respectful guy, like someone who was clean. Like he was very like open. He wasn't just oh man, so to work with him and to help to say, and knowing what I wanted out of the business as well, and knowing what he wants out of the business, it's real, man. Only guys like Samoa Joe, Homicide, Swerve, Roderick Strong, Tony Khan, they know how much this means. There's a bunch of other guys too, Mike Bennett, they know how much this means to me. And I don't like to joke around with it. I don't like to play with it, and I don't like to play with it in my real life either, because this is a opportunity that's just like people don't get it all the time, so I try to just continue to be who I am. I'm an open book. People could come to me, for whatever, and I think that's a part of my mental health and my mental strategy as well, and why I've been able to have this longevity and to have this success with Swerve. It's like a mental, he's been able to help break this mental thing in my head that made me think I wasn't good enough at what it is that I do. And now he's helped me get rid of that. The fans have helped me get rid of that. And now it's my time to show out and show off and hey and hey and go to their website,
I'm going to talk about that.
princenadacoffee.com,
Yes.
princenadacoffee.com. Go to their website.
Yes, we're going to talk about that in just a second because I want to stop real quick at Revolution and the robe. And that was very important in storyline reasons, also steeped in history from your Ring of Honor days, late Jimmy Rave, and so on. And then there was the moment, and when he, after the match, after the win, great match, he took the knee. And he hand you the robe. And I tell you, as all of us do, we watch a lot of wrestling, right? And it was one of those moments where you saw the fans, the shot was great, the fans all stood up. I do the Rock thing. I got the goosebumps. I'm getting them right now. And it made you feel like, as much as people say about wrestling, that's real. That's art. That what we just saw
Yes.
in that moment.
Thank you.
And it was a the fans had the respect for it. It was such a great moment. And I'll never forget watching it. It was just such a thing. Tell me about your reaction in front of
Oh, man.
11,000 people in the middle of the ring to cap that whole thing off.
Oh, man. Like, there's been other big moments too, but that moment right there was like the icing on the cake of why I am in this business and why I do what I do and why I want to inspire people to, continue their path and keep on pushing forward to just be better. And just like, that was it, all in that moment. And when he got down on his knee, and he didn't say he was gonna do all of that, but when he did get down on his knee and all of that, it was not only a great moment for me, and it was just a great moment for professional wrestling, period. Because I think it just showed that we can have a moment, not only just a moment, we can have quite a few moments like this with any type of individual who really, really wants it. Black, white, Chinese, and Swerve is proving that. And like, a lot of the people there, yeah, you might see like one particular, group of people. Let me tell you something, people are watching all over. Every type of, demographic, they're beginning to tune in, and it's because, AEW is opening up that reason to watch. Because, hey, I got, there's people that I'm similar to on here, and there's like emotion, and these people, they really know each other, they got love for each other. Like, oh shoot. So that's what that was, and it was a big moment, and I'm very appreciative of it, and I want to make more moments like that. And it just comes from just being focused, listening to the fans, and just following a vision of greatness. Everyone, in that company wants to be great. And I'm not only talking about the professional wrestlers, I'm talking about everybody, from the video people to the music people to the lighting people to the set designers. Everyone there wants to be great, even the truck drivers. And they're not just, we're trying to be great doing what it is that we do, and then bring some of that to the table here. So as long as that's happening, I think we're going to have some more moments like that. And it's not only going to be with me and Swerve. I think everyone is going to strive to have those type of moments now in AEW a lot more. And there's been other ones for other situations, but that one right there is a big icing on the cake for the company in general. And I'm afraid of that.
A couple more questions and we'll get you out of here. I have to ask about the dance. So the
Oh
dance, it was
my gosh.
it has taken over a life of its own, and that's one of the beautiful things about this business is things that you don't expect just grab people and people start doing it. They get physical with it, and you can see it, right? You can see it, and
The
the
dance.
dance. How did and you're the fact that you're able to now you're going to do this dance off in Slatington, Pennsylvania. For
Oh my goodness.
PPW in April 12th
Yes.
against Travis Norbert. So you have that coming up. So you're able to kind of take
Yes.
this on the
Yes.
road. Tell me about just, was it just something you started doing and you just like, again, viral and just caught on? Just
I
the dance. Tell me about
know
the
it's
dance.
like what, but basically, I always did that dance as a dance that we do, like not that particular one, but there's a particular motion that we do, and I've always done it, especially when I'm excited or I want to show a lot. I'm partying and shit like that. But there was something about that song, number one, that made me wanna, and I was going through a really rough time in Canada, a really rough time in Canada. But I was still, this is maybe about 2 years now. I was like maybe 2 years into the company now, or whatever. So now, how travel isn't glamorous anymore. It's like, get your ass on the road, So I'm like, wow, this is, and like we were stuck in a blizzard for 5 days. It was just nuts. And I was like, whatever. But I spoke with Tony Khan, And he was like, what? He boom, 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 like gave me some good news. And I was like, shit, I was celebrating by myself. And then I just was like, fuck that. I'm gonna put this fucking song on. Let me put this song on. And I'm gonna just do a dance real quick. And I fucking was in my hotel room. And I did the dance, and I knew what I was gonna do because I have rhythm and shit like that. I've always danced in the ROH back in the day, if you really watch my stuff. So I did it, and at first I was like reluctant about posting. I was like, oh my God, I look like an idiot. But this is actually fun the way that I did it. So I posted it, and boom. Like after that, it was just viral city from there. It was like Nyla Rose retweeted it, just like the other, like, fans were retweeting, like, whoa, what is this? That dance is cool. You gotta do it. You gotta bring that on, on television, and shit like that. And basically that's what I did. I came out and just started doing that dance on TV, and it went viral. People love it. They love doing it. It's the energy you get out of it. It's the swag. You know what I'm saying? You feel good. Hey, let it out. Hey, 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 hey. You got to do your face. Hey, it's like a release, and it's something that the wrestling business needed. I know there's a bunch of other things people do to get the crowd hype, but that right there was a completely organic thing. And thank God, big up to Swerve for the theme song, and also Flash Garments for the theme song as well, and also the producer. I'll remember his name before we get off. Prophet, the producer.
And he's always Swerve is always so stoic when he's walking out to the ring, and they're like, have you ever cracked him up? Have you ever seen him almost crack a smile? Or
Oh man, like there's a couple times, but he's again, he cracks up. After, like,
okay.
he's somebody who will look at it like, look at us, like, after when we're watching it back, and that's the beauty of it, because we take it so serious. We know that it's gonna hit. We know what we're doing. He knows I'm a comedian. I know he's a wrestler. You know what I'm saying? And I know he's also a great performer. So, and he knows that I'm a great performer on top of that funny shit. And but he's also good too with being serious. I'm good with being serious, and like being like. What we're known for seeing in professional wrestling, what got most of us into it and drawn into it, which is like, storytelling and like drama and characters, So, that's what that is, man. I love to crack him up, and when we're watching everything back, and it's great. It's great.
Right, final question. I asked about the coffee. You flashed it earlier. PrinceNotOnCoffee.com. I believe it was
Hey.
last year you introduced it, if I remember right.
Oh yeah. Yes, yes.
How did this come about? We all love side hustles. Let's talk to me about this one.
Baby. All right. Everybody, anyone who knows me, I am a huge hustler. I used to sell credit card processing machines. So that's why I was always able to buy these illustrious robes. And I was a photographer, so I was charging people thousands of dollars to shoot their golf events and their birthday parties. So I've always been a hustler. I've always looked into different type of things to invest in, and I always loved coffee. And I know that coffee is something that I always want. I always have it at least a couple times a week or a couple times a day. And just with like finally, getting my brand on a national stage with AEW, I was able to, start my own brand. And again, I've been developing this for the last 3 years. So it's not like I came up, oh, I came on TV, and like, so I've been developing it for the last 3 years, doing the research with the team, and it was just time to for it to roll it out, and it was the best time to roll it out. But I think we really hit the map when we got into our feud with Christian, and I think that's when everyone started to, okay, wow, this is, I pulled up with the coffee on the scene, and it was just great. Everyone from there, they just like, okay, we want this coffee. So now the coffee is almost, the actual company itself, as far as it being live, it's been live for almost about 11 months. We're about, next month is going to be our anniversary. And we supply coffee for tons of fans and wrestlers, and also for the whole AEW catering team. And man, yeah, we're doing it big, man.
I know Tony Khan drinks a lot of coffee. He's always got the double
Oh,
cups.
he does. He does. He does. He has his own taste of, he has his own, preference, but he drinks Prince Nana coffee often.
He should. I mean, there's all types of flavors. I'm looking at the website now, from straight red, regular flavors to
Oh
Mexican
yeah. Oh
chocolate
yeah.
flavors and things like that. So I
Oh
tell
yeah.
Tony Khan, if you're listening, there's a coffee flavor for you. I mean, who are we kidding on, right? I mean, this guy's gonna get on board. He's got
And we
some.
have the K-cups for him. And I have the K-cups for him, and I have some coffee for you too, Josh, because you've been such a great host, and I appreciate again that wonderful warm entrance in the beginning of this show.
Well, this has been a great talk. I didn't know if I could encompass your whole career in an hour. I think we've come pretty close. There's so much more to tell, and so many other stories. How do people find you
So
on?
much more.
How many
So
people?
much more.
How many? How do
So much
people?
more.
Where do you want people to find you on social media? What's your preferences?
The best place to find me where I'm be is Prince King Nana on Instagram. Prince King Nana on Instagram, and on X, you can find me on Prince King Nana. And basically, all of my social media is Prince King Nana. Hit me up, inbox me, get some coffee. Hey, tune in. We're gonna have a great rest of this 2025. All right, me and Swerve, we have some really good things in the works. We've been planning.
That's right. We're on to Dynasty coming up in less than a month. And my hope, Prince, my last thought is that every kingdom needs a queen. And my hope, maybe someday, is maybe Queen Aminata might get brought under your wing. She's got talent. She's got, I think she's next at some
You
point.
know what?
That's my prediction.
Let me just say this. It's the same aura of like when I was about to start working with Swerve. It was like we obviously are friends, and like she's great in the ring and this and that, but I know that if they ever do take that step, that's it. She's just, on Mercedes Moné status and Toni Storm status. In all of the wrestling business. But that's just, she'll even do it without me. So you don't need me. But I know that if that ever, if that, like, if I could just add that to my collection right now, because right now it's hard with Swerve, man. There's a lot of business that needs to be taken care of. So I don't like to have too many things going on. But Queen Aminata, hey. I'll bring her in like that, my friend. You know what I'm talking. Hey, and she'll be a huge, huge, huge star, even bigger than she is right now. I love Queen Aminata.
Well, congratulations on this first act of your career, and looking forward to decades more of seeing you dance on our screens. Prince
Oh,
Nana,
man.
Prince Nana, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, you guys. Go to that website, princenanacoffee.com.